Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming.
By faith, I see a miracle. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to read a couple verses to you from the book of Matthew chapter 22. And this is some of our foundation scriptures that we used last Sunday. And we'll give you a little bit of review, and then we'll teach you farther on the Word of God. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading to you in actually verse 37. Now, Jesus had just been teaching the crowds and the multitudes, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had been doing everything they could, we would say it today, to intimidate him, because if you can intimidate someone, you shut their mouth. They quit speaking because they're intimidated and they draw back within themselves. And then they begin to have thoughts, well, nobody likes me, nobody cares for me, because they become intimidated. And then there come one of a lawyer out of the group of Pharisees, and he came with him to actually tempt him and try to back him in a corner, because he, being a lawyer, knew how to argue the law. But I'm going to read verse 36 to you. I said verse 37, but I'll pick up in verse 36. It says, Master, that's, if you're using another translation, you'll probably use the word teacher. Teacher, which is the great commandments in the law? And I can see him asking that question, just kind of setting back. He said, now I got you. Which is the greatest? And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He said, you must love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now that means our emotions. That soulish part of us means our desires, our passions. We put him first place. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, or about the same. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And once again, I want to emphasize verse 37 to you. He said we are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Now that says we're all in. We're not partially in. Bow your heads with me. Father, we come to this part of the service, and we look forward to this day. We've desired this opportunity to share the Word of God. And Father, here's a group of people that are here. They're here because they love you. They're seeking after your plan, after your ways. And we declare that the word of the Lord would have free course, flow forth unhindered, and that signs and wonders would follow the word and confirm the word in Jesus' name. And Father, we just want to say once again, thank you for sending Jesus, and Jesus, thank you for your obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. All in. I shared this with you last Sunday, and I'm going to share it with you again. Now, this is somewhat of a tragic part of our lives in one aspect, but not a tragic part. It's kind of what I would call a bittersweet type of situation that sometimes we all find ourselves in from time to time in going through life. And this individual was in the hospital and been hospitalized quite a bit. He'd kind of tottered between life and death, and actually ended up dying in the hospital, but there for some time would totter back and forth. And the Lord gave him a dream for the purpose of preparing him to make the transition from earth to heaven. And in this dream, there's like a corridor or a long hallway, and on both sides were rooms. It reminded me when he shared this that of a hotel hallway, you know, or motel rooms on both sides. And the Holy Spirit took him and began to go into room by room and went in for the purpose of cleaning them out. Just cleaning them. Just the floors, the walls, everything, bathrooms. Cleaning them out and go from one room to the other. And got down to the last room and went to go in. He said, no, I can't go in this room. I can't go in this room. And the Holy Spirit was ministering to him about being ready to cross over to the other side or make that transition, that he wanted that whole heart right. Not that you might miss heaven, but it's just good to go into the presence of God with all our heart right. And he said, no, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, we need to go in here and clean this one last room. And finally, the gentleman submitted to that. And the reason he was reluctant to submit to that, it brought back a lot of hurt, resentment, and guilt and bitterness that really never had been dealt with. And he yielded to go into the room and begin to clean that room up, which was the room of his heart, one of the chambers of his heart, we would say spiritually speaking. And when he finished cleaning in the dream, he came out, he was a whole person again. And then the time that he had left before he made the transition, he said, if I could do my life again, I would put relationships first. I wouldn't put my own desires as a priority. I would concentrate on learning to walk in love and bestow forgiveness. He learned before he made the transition what it was like to be all in. And sometimes when we hear this phraseology, all in, or the terminology, all in, we sometimes can glibly say, I am all in, and I believe that you are. I don't doubt that at all. But sometimes we don't know really what it means to be all in until there's a price to pay for being all in. Because there is a price to pay if you're really going to be all in for the things of God. Number one, it's probably going to say some of your friends are going to drop off a little bit, and you maybe get a few more friends that are all in also, or headed in that direction. And as I was meditating on that instance and also on the scriptures, I began to understand the importance of my life. I need to walk in love. It must be my goal. The Amplified said in 14:1 of 1 Corinthians, he said, aim at, pursue love, make it your aim, make it your quest. And then he said also, desire spiritual gifts. And so we all need to pursue walking in love and in a measure know what it's like to be just totally sold out. Pastoring is a unique calling on an individual's life, but it's also what I've come to also refer to as an awesome calling. But as pastoring, this is what you see. When trouble comes, where people come. They come to church. They come to you for prayer. Things get to going well for a while, then a little lukewarmness. And trouble comes again. And they seek the things of the church. Why is that? Because they're not really all in. They haven't totally sold out the things and ways of God. And only seek him when difficulty comes along. And that's wise. God is full of grace and God is full of mercy. But so many times we have that plan B, and plan B is a lot of times what I would call a step in the direction of failure. because God's got an awesome plan for you. And I used this example last Sunday, and I'm going to use it again because you need to be stirred up. I need to be stirred up, and some were here to hear. Early 1500s, Cortez came from Spain to conquer the Aztec nation, is what we know as Mexico today. Two other attempts had been made to come and failed from Spain, and then actually for a few centuries, people just hadn't been able to get there. Cortez came to land at about where Veracruz is now. If you've been there, Veracruz is a nice place. But he came with 11 ships, 110 sailors, 553 soldiers. Not on what the 13 horses were for among that many people. I guess to eat. His pickings got rough. Got there and then realized that the opposition totaled the Aztec nation at that time was about 5 million people. They were cannibalistic, offered human sacrifice, and then used their prisoners to teach their people how to war. And then they realized what they was up against, and his men began to talk a little bit, what we would call mutiny, about turning back. Yet they'd come to conquer the Aztec nation and to find gold. Cortez gave this order, burn the ships. They burnt the ships, watched them sink. They had no plan B. They were all in. And actually, over a two-year period, they conquered the Aztec nation and took their wealth. The odds, some of you mathematicians, would be one to in the thousands. You know, 553 men, 110 sailors, so that's not very many against 5 million people. But they was all in. And then we shared with you, D.L. Moody is actually given credit for this, but he really wasn't the one that said this. And it said, the world is yet to see what God can do through the man that is totally sold out or consecrated to him. I actually heard a British evangelist say that, Henry Varley. And when he said that, Moody pinned it on a piece of paper and wrote down at the bottom here, it's on the overhead, I aim to be that man. Now, I would like for all of us to have that kind of commitment and desire and passion for God. I aim to be that person. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go in the ministry particularly at all, but it means you're just totally sold out. And I agree, the world is yet to see a man or what God can do for a man or through a man or a woman that is totally sold out to God. Now, if you know anything about D.L. Moody, he come from poverty. His dad died when he was 5 years old, left 7 children, and his mother was pregnant with twins. The boys had to go to work at an early age, and as soon as he could, he left and went into the Boston area and became a shoe salesman. And then someone come and gave him the gospel, and he got saved. And he went into the ministry. And over the course of his life, Bible institutes, churches, publishing, built houses for orphans, girls, boys, did a lot of things for God because he was wholly and totally sold out. He was all in. Now, I want you to turn with me in the scriptures to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you from the, I'm going to read it from the King James, and I'll begin in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read it also in two other translations, and that'll be the Passion and the Message Bible. But Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Now, Paul has just made a declaration. He said, I just count everything loss. I would say it this way, to do something for God, or to be in His presence. He said, I just count everything up to this day. He said, to use the word dung, actually, he said, it's nothing. And he said, I want to be found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained either or already perfect. Well, I know he's not talking about some of you because you're already perfect. Probably talking about me. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, he's just kind of saying, I want everything, I want to get it, everything that God has for me. And then he says, brethren, or the church or Christian people, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or attained, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now he makes a statement here. He forgets that those things that are what? Behind. Just like Cortez burned the ships. Now there's some things that you need to forget. You need to forget about some of the guilt, the past mistakes, the shame, and you need to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You just need to keep pressing in. Now, I want to read that to you from the Passion Translation, and then I'll read it to you from the Message Bible. Now, Paul says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. Now, I'm going to go back in Paul's life here in a moment and show you some things about Paul. But he said, I am pursuing. Now, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness. But what did he say I'm doing? I'm pursuing absolute fullness in Christ. And I'm running with passion. Not dilly-dallying around. I'm running with passion into His abundance. Hallelujah. So that I may reach the purpose. See, God's got a purpose for every one of you. And may it be said of all of us, as I said of David, he didn't make the transition until he'd fulfilled the plan and purpose of God in his generation. So that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. If you don't know the plan and the purpose God has for you, His plan is, His will is that you discover it. Next verse, please. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. Listen, you and I will learn, if we don't learn, I already know that we will learn, what it means to be focused if we're all in. I forget all of the past. Listen. He said he forgets what? All of the past. Now yet the scripture says at the same time we need to write down what God has done for us. And sometimes it's good to read that. But so many times today we see the church world in one sense, they're living on what God did yesterday, what God did 10 years ago. God's doing nothing now. The day you start living in the past is the day you start dying. That's the day life starts being drained out of you. You need to look to the future. That's an awesome plan that God has for you. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart. I mean, man, he's sold out. He's all in. I'm fastening my heart to the future instead. I mean, God has an awesome future for you if you have faith and the confidence to step into it. His plan has never changed. Next verse. I run straight for the divine invitation. I'm reaching the heavenly goal. See, he's sold out. He's running straight, not deviating. Gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Next verse. So let all who are fully mature, you ought to be saying, hey, that's me, have this same passionate. Be passionate about following Jesus. Or change the wording a tad. Be passionate about what God is doing for you and in you and the plan that he has for you. It's awesome. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. God reveal it. Roll it. So let all who fully mature, let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. Next verse, please. My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God. Follow after those who walk according to the way of life we've modeled before you. Now, Paul is saying, I'm all in. I've been all in. I've been sold out. And he said, I want you to have that same desire, same passion. I've given you an example here. Now, follow after me. Now, let's read this from the Message Bible. And I'm going to show you things in the scriptures in relationship to Paul. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made. I think we could all say that. But I'm well on my way. I'm reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Reads a lot the same. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert on this, but I've got my eye on the goal. And he's got his eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused. Now, you remember the passion may use the same word. Let's stay focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, and we've got to stay focused. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, man, you ought to have jumped up and said amen on that one. God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Now that's what it means to be all in or sold out. Now I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and I'll share some things in the scripture in relationship to Paul. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 24 to you. Acts chapter 20. Now, Paul is encountered a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of persecution along the way here. And as I was reading this entire chapter just this morning again, one thing that I hope that I could be said about me after I make the transition, I would like for this to be able to be said about me, whether it is or not, but I'd like for the Spirit of God to be able to say that. Paul said this about him, I have not shunned to declare you all of the counsel of God. Now that's down in verse 27. Paul said, I haven't shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God. Not just one side, but a balanced side. And then he went on to say here when we read verse 20, he said, I've kept back nothing. I didn't hold back anything that was profitable for you. And now verse 24, He's talked about a little bit of the persecution, but he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, all of these other things going on around, we just read to you from Philippians chapter 3 what Paul said about being all in. You forget about the past. So that I might finish my course. Now, Paul makes a couple powerful statements here. He said, I'm not going to let adversity move me. Now, if you let adversity move you, you're going to be up and down just like this. Never know what you're going to wake up like next morning. And he said, I'm going to finish my course. Now, let me reword it here. He said, now, if I let adversity move me, I'll never finish my course of what God has for me here on the earth. I'll just be spinning my wheels. And what happens when we spin our wheels on a vehicle? You don't go anyplace. You just stay the same. He said, I'm not going to let adversity or problems move me. He said, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. Man, we just ought to back up here and just have a little praise session. Amen. Hallelujah. Which I have received of him, or received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you're going to have opportunity along the way to be moved. Because the adversary, he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. And I don't want to go into much detail, but on Wednesday nights we've been teaching you that word means don't adopt the devil's plan. When you adopt the devil's plan, it becomes yours. You nurse it, you take care of it. Feed it, clothe it, etc. Resist the devil's plan. Along the way, you're going to encounter difficulty. Along the way, as you encounter difficulty, and that difficulty you encounter, it's going to look like everything is impossible. Maybe lost your hope. I'll check that in just a moment. But none of these things move me. For this purpose, that I finish my course, and I'm going to do it with joy. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, they have, Paul's headed for Rome, and the Lord said, hey, you need to go to Rome. And he starts to roam, and then encounters some difficulty. And it doesn't look like they're going to make it. I'll read verse 22. Verse 20, not 22. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, or didn't appear, and no small tempest, or we would say storm, lay upon them, all hope that they should be saved was taken away. Now, they didn't have any hope now. Paul was already said, you got to go to Rome and stand before and make witness. Share the gospel. Now it looks like all hope is gone. Not going to make it. Now during this time, and I'll read in a moment, Paul gets a word from God and shares it. But coming back to the practical aspect of the time when you get a word from God when you're all in, or maybe not even all in, but you get a word from God, you know where you're to go, you know what you're focused to do, you know that there is a commitment involved and there is a price to pay. And then when difficulty comes along the way, it's what I would call, this is where what the Bible teaches us, a time of proving. Now, what happens during this proving time, we're going to find out where we're going to believe God's word is greater than the adversity. This is what the proving is involved in, or what happens during the proving. We're going to find out if we really believe what God has said. If we're going to throw up our hands and quit and say, well, look what's happening. Nothing ever turns out all right. And I shared this with you Wednesday night. There are people here that are what we would call really, really good welders and et cetera along that line, whether it be poly or whether it be steel or metal. Now, if you're welding a line up like that for water or gas or something to flow through, when you get done welding, you're going to test it. New pipe or old pipe or whatever, poly or whatever. To test that, you put pressure on it. And unfortunately, sometimes new pipe just has holes in it. And unfortunately, sometimes weld has holes in it. Maybe like I weld, has a little pinhole. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did the pressure cause the hole in the pipe, or did it reveal the weak places in the pipe? Now, this is what proving does to us. It doesn't cause the weak places, but it shows them up where we need to believe God and increase our faith and grow our faith. Now, Paul has just made this statement. Paul just made this statement. I'm not going to look at adversity. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to count it all joy. None of these things move me. And now he's in a situation where all hope is gone. Now, this is what I want to ask you in a measure, in a sense, that what are you going to do in your life when you've made the commitment, hey, I'm all in, and when you got all in, you thought that meant everything would go rosy-rosy, and then it doesn't go rosy-rosy. Adversity comes. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep believing God, keep believing what the Word of God has been speaking to you, or are you going to focus on adversity and circumstances? It don't make any difference who we are. Well, there's always a season that we focus on that. It's just part of the growing stage in our life. And then there's the unexpected, you know, where things just happen that is devastating. I'm going to be in reading to you in verse 22. Now, this is when all hope is gone. Paul said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, how can you be of good cheer when there's no hope? Now, Paul did it. He said, I count it all joy. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. I would say, well, thank you, Paul. I would think if the ship's going down, about everybody else is also. He said, hey, the ship's going to sink, and we're on the ship, but you're going to be okay. Man, you're nuts, Paul. And then he says, why? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. They spoke a word, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. He says, don't be afraid. You're to go before Caesar. You're going to share the gospel. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's why I say the word, it is well. I believe it will be as God spoke to me. Amen. It is well. Amen. Now, Paul said this when there's no hope. He was all in. He knew the plan of God hadn't changed because there was adversity. It looked like there's no... He said, hey, it's going to turn out all right. He said, I believe it's just going to be like he's told me. Now, I'm going to jump to verse 44. Really leaving out a lot of this story. Now, this is when the ship went ahead and wrecked and fell apart. Some of them swam to shore on boards. Others just swam, but they all made it. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So now we see the fulfillment of what God said. The ship's going down, but everybody's going to be okay. And now it seems like they just escaped the sea of drowning and then their coal, et cetera, and building a fire on the island. As Paul's gathered up a bunch of sticks, a poisonous snake comes out and fastens on his arm. And the people of the Indonesians there to the island, they couldn't believe he hadn't died. They said, man, what's happened? This guy must be God. Listen, when you are sold out, God is going to make a way. And just like the prophet Isaiah prophesied, it's prophetically said, the water shall not overflow you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, anything poisonous will not harm you fatally. He shook it off in the fire. And then stayed there till kind of the stormy part of the season was over, and then they caught a ship, went on to Rome, and Paul preached the gospel. I would like to be able to tell you this morning, if you've made that decision to really sell out to God, all in, that you'd never have another challenging day in your life. But that would be misleading you. But this is not misleading you. You will come through it in flying colors. And you will move higher up in Jesus. Your faith will be increased. You will stand where others would have desired to stand, but haven't because they've never made the commitment. So when you make that decision to be all in, you've made a decision to come through adversity in flying colors and believe what God has spoken to you. I want you to stand with me. Listen, halfway is no way to live. Halfway is no way to live. Quit holding back. God's gifted you awesomely. Don't hold back. Don't hold out. It's time to go all in and go all out for God. It's time to go all in and all out for God.
You were listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.